Morning, church. All right, turn to the book of Proverbs. If you don't know me, my name is Jason, one of the pastors here. It's a few new faces. We hope you feel very welcome with us this morning. Last week we began a summer series in the book of Proverbs, taking a break from our study in Luke. Today we find ourselves in Proverbs chapter 2. So please turn there. Last week we read a verse, though, that I want to reread as we start today. Chapter 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs 1, 7. That's the lens by which we study the book of Proverbs, okay? When we understand who God is and his place and understand us and who we are, we can come to a place of humility to receive these wise words from Solomon, from God, okay? So what we're going to do as we begin, I'm going to pray one more time for that humility as we come to God's word. Let's pray one more time briefly. Give us wisdom, give us understanding, as we just sang. Give us hearts of reverent fear. Speak to us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs chapter 2. We're going to read the whole chapter. Strap in. Here we go. You ready? This is God's word. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice and equity, every good path. For wisdom will come into your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guard you, delivering you from the way of evil, from men of perverted speech, who forsake the paths of uprightness to walk in the way of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and delight in the perverseness of evil, men whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways. So you will be delivered from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her paths to the departed. None who go to her come back, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of the good and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will inhabit the land, and those with integrity will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be rooted out of it. This is God's word. Amen? Amen. Wisdom itself is many things. We talked about that last week. But in essence, it's the ability to know right from wrong in the eyes of God. It's to discern how to live in the world that is honoring to the Lord, and it's going to keep us on the right path, right? It's wisdom. Because as we discussed last week, our everyday lives are full of choices, aren't they? Every day, we have lots of choices and decisions to make. And we need to make decisions that honor the Lord in our ever-changing, chaotic lives, right, that we all have. It's a bit like jazz music. I don't personally like jazz, but I appreciate jazz. Jazz music is about improvisation. It's about making music while adapting, right, to changing notes, rhythms, even volumes. That's life, isn't it? It's about making wise decisions amongst the varying changes in our everyday lives. And the Proverbs here can help us hit the right notes. can help us keep the right tempo and adjust the volume. Now, at the end of chapter 1 that Andy covered last week, we saw wisdom pictured as a woman in the streets raising her voice. Come listen. It's available for anyone that wants it. Come and listen. Now, chapter 2 here, I want you to picture wisdom going inside the schoolhouse. And she's now going to sit down with her student and speak directly. So verse 1, Solomon addresses his son again, his student. He's addressing those that are younger, have much to learn. And again, as we said last week, kids, there's plenty of you in the room this morning. In many ways, this book was written for you. This wisdom is from a father who lived his life for himself. He lived in the world, and he found it all, read the book of Ecclesiastes, vanity. It's all worthless. And he's trying to give those that come after him and his children instruction how to live life. Learn from my mistakes. Now, obviously, that doesn't mean the rest of us get to shut off. It's for us as well, right? Do you need wisdom? Yes. All of us do. But listen, kids, you might benefit more than us old geezers. Because if you apply this stuff now, you're going to live your life and not endure some of the mistakes and failures of us old people. You hear me, youth? No wisdom. Now let's go back to the schoolhouse. Father to a son, teacher to a student. We get a conditional statement to begin this lesson. He says, my son, if. Now, if is usually followed by some sort of command, and then what we get from that, a conclusion. Okay? Condition, command, conclusion. And we do this all the time as parents or teachers or carers, right? If you go clean your room, you're going to have ice cream for dinner. Sounds pretty good. If you listen in class, we'll dismiss 10 minutes early. This week at Holiday Club, it's kind of a combination of if you listen to the leaders, right? Then you get 100 points. But it was also, if you don't listen to the leaders, you're going to get a red card and go home. Solomon says if. And he's going to give us a list of commands. Look here, verse 1 through 4. If you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures. Do you see all that? Notice how wide a net Solomon casts here. All the elements there is to attaining wisdom. Receive, treasure, listen, incline, call out, ask for, seek, search. 8 actions. Things that we have to do. What are they? Let's real briefly look. First one is to receive. To bring in, to accept it. Sometimes that's the hardest, isn't it? Because of our pride, because of what we think is best. So we're not to puff up, not to throw it away, but we are to receive and accept the words of wisdom. And then he uses another word there in verse 1, treasure up. It also means to store up. Okay? So you accept them, and then you store it up, wisdom. Put it away for safekeeping. What you have here in verse 1 is the learning process being played out. Do you see that? Lessons are being taught. You accept, and then you take them in, you store them up. And guess what? To store something up, it takes time, doesn't it? And that's how we learn, isn't it? We learn over time. It's like learning a language. Do you learn a language overnight? I don't know anybody that's done that unless maybe God allows them to speak in tongues. My kids are obsessed with this app called Duolingo. Anybody ever seen this? If you haven't seen it, you've probably heard it on a bus or something, a little whatever that talks, okay? But it's an app to learn a language. You can't learn that language after using the app one time. It's a process, isn't it? It takes time, like so many things in life. So that's what happens. It's a process. It takes time. In addition, wisdom requires your effort to listen, verse 2, that your ear is attentive to it. We just sung that song that we not listen to the voice of folly, but listen for the words of the Lord, the voice of God. Listening was a common thing Jesus said during his ministry, wasn't it? He who has ears, let him hear. And what he's really saying is, do you understand what I'm saying? Do you hear that these are the very words of God? Do you understand? So we're hearing. Also, it requires you, it says, to incline your heart. That means to reach for understanding. And the heart is always the center of our being in Scripture, isn't it? It's the place of real change. It's a place where all things pass through, and our hearts, our very core of our being, has to go after wisdom. And we also look, call out and ask for wisdom. Verse 3. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him what? Ask. Ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. And lastly, you see two other things there. Seek and search in verse 4. Go after it. Wisdom is spoken of like treasure, like silver. Something of very, very high value. We go after it. Reminds me of films like, you pick one, right? National Treasure or Pirates of the Caribbean. I'll go with Indiana Jones, okay? Yeah, that's right. All these films, though, think about it. They're all after what? Treasure. Something of value. And you know what they all have in common? They go after it with everything. They risk even their lives to go after because of the value of what they're seeking. We need to seek wisdom like that, guys. A highly valuable treasure. You could just about sum up these first four verses to say, it takes time and effort to be wise. It takes time and effort to be wise. You have to, church, pursue wisdom. You have to pursue wisdom. If you want it, you have to listen to God. You have to obey him humbly. You have to seek him diligently. All these things, kind of like a miner searches for silver and gold. As one guy said, obtaining spiritual wisdom isn't a hobby we just do once a week. It's a daily discipline, and it takes effort. It takes work. It's not like our culture today of microwave ovens and fast food, right? Ways to get what we want quick. That's how we are. We're impatient people who want things right now. But good things in life don't come easy, do they? A 60-second microwave meal is never as good as a 5-course feast that's taken all day. I don't care what kind of pot noodles you're eating, but it's not going to beat a prime rib, okay? A prime roast. Won't happen. We have to invest time and energy to learning wisdom from God and applying it to our life. We have to pursue it. And also because of our cell phones, all these other distractions in life, our attention spans today are like this, aren't they? They're like this. And it translates into our pursuit of wisdom. We think, oh, I'll just spend 1 minute a day reading, or just show up on Sunday and think that it'll quickly translate, right? Again, quickly into our lives. And then it doesn't. Because it takes time and effort, church. It takes time and effort to listen, to ask for, to seek, and to search for wisdom, to pursue it. Now, the lazy side of us might ask at this point, is it worth it? That seems like a lot. I got a lot of other things going on. Is it worth it? What's the conclusion from our condition and all these commands then? Verse 5 gives us some of the answer. Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Basically, you seek wisdom, you seek His word, you find God. Or to say it another way, God is wisdom. Is that not an incredible treasure to find, church? Is that not enough? But there's more. Look at verse 6 and halfway through verse 7. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Seeking wisdom, we find God. We can know ultimate truth by divine revelation, by God speaking, which He's given us here. God speaks right here, church. People ask all the time, is God speaking to me? Have you opened this book? It's His words. Look at that again. For the Lord gives wisdom, verse 6. From His mouth comes knowledge and understanding. That means the answers to the universe, the answers to creation, the answers to evil, the answers to sin, the answers to salvation, the answers to navigate our complex lives, it's all right here. Amen? It's here. It's so important. Because again, we're all after answers to life's questions. Big ones and little ones. Did you know that's the basis for philosophy? Just to answer questions in life? A philosopher is a lover of wisdom. That's what they are. But the world's pursuit of philosophy looks at them from a human perspective, don't they? But we who fear God, who know God, who seek Him, have access to something greater. It says, verse 7, God is a storehouse of wisdom. A storehouse. We can only find true wisdom in God, in His storehouse. No other place. You're not going to find it out there in tarot cards or palm readings, horoscopes. You're not going to find it on TikTok or your Instagram reels, you know, those little nice daily sayings, or the newest podcast. We find true, long-lasting, God-breathed divine wisdom right here in His Word. Amen? That's where you're going to find it. Don't go anywhere else. But guess what? You have to go after it, church. You have to pursue it. I mean, think about all the things that we do pursue and invest time in, right? Think about it. Think about your life. We invest time maybe in our work or our family or our kids, grandkids, whatever, our studies maybe if you're in school. The list goes on, and yet we so often neglect to put time and effort into the very things that would help us navigate all of that. Do you see? This thing will help you navigate life, your family, your work, your studies. It's here. If we pursue it. And when we do, guess what? We get even more of a benefit. It says there, look, halfway through verse 7, he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the way of his saints. See that? He's a shield. He guards. He watches. So if we do our part to invest time and effort into his word and obtaining wisdom, not only do we get help to navigate life, but his promise is protection. Protection from the enemy. Reminds me of Ephesians 6. I love Ephesians 6. If we put on the whole armor of God, right? Belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of peace, shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, we can stand firm, right? Against the devil's fiery darts. That's protection, church. This is somewhat a similar picture here in Proverbs. If we're actively seeking him, his word, living and doing what the word says by the power of the Spirit in us, God will protect us. I don't know about you, but I like to picture God's armor like Iron Man. I know it's a little bit nerdy. If you don't know who Iron Man is, he's a superhero, okay? But his armor can withstand bullets, missiles, any physical attack. He's got a shield that can come out to protect from massive assaults. He's got a laser for a shield, or for a sword, right? He stands in that suit. He can withstand attacks from very powerful enemies. Our spiritual armor is much the same. Because we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and authorities and cosmic powers over the present darkness, the spiritual forces of evil. It's a real battle that we have every single day as believers, isn't it? It's real. But we have to put the armor on, church. We have to pursue Christ and his word, his wisdom. We're going to be unprotected. Protection is important. God will provide it for the believer. And as we finish here in chapter 2, there's two practical pictures he gives us of what we're protected from by pursuing God's wisdom. Two things. You're protected from evil men, verse 9 through 15, and protected from the adulteress, verse 16 through 19 there. And notice, look at verse 11 and 12. Look at the protection language again. Watch over. Guard, deliver. You see that? From who? Those who love evil. People whose values have become distorted. They're perverted, it says. They rejoice in evil. Their path is crooked. It reminds me a little bit of Romans 1. They became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be what? Wise. But they became fools and exchanged the truth about God for a lie. To be evil, also here in Proverbs 2, means they bring harm to others. So not just they are evil, but they bring evil and harm to others. And they rejoice in doing it. They love the darkness rather than the light. John 3:19. Some of us have been in this path or with these kind of people, walked in darkness rather than light. In fact, all of us have been before Christ, haven't we? All of us walked in darkness. Listen, youth in the room, I particularly want you to hear this because the company we keep has a massive impact on us. Peer pressure is a real enemy. If we surround ourselves with people who love evil, we will find ourselves loving it as well. It's same for any of us, though, isn't it? If we surround ourselves with people of perverted speech, as it says here, who forsake the path of uprightness, who walk in darkness, who rejoice in doing evil, then we too will follow their example. And this can come from anywhere. It can come from family even. It can come from our dear friends, maybe who we grew up with, and we just haven't set. That was me for so many years, just could not break off that relationship with my friends, but they loved evil. I finally had to say no, no more. Satan prowls around like a roaring lion. He's the father of lies. He also disguises himself as an angel of light, things that look good but are evil. We have to remember that temptation to be evil still resides in us. We're all born sinners. We're children of wrath by our nature. Our flesh is constantly pulling us back into sin and to evil unless we protect ourselves. Right? Put on your armor. Seek wisdom. And then that protection comes from inside of us, from His Word, from His Spirit, and we can walk in His path. Walk in the light. That's a great encouragement, church. God can protect us. He can give us wisdom. Protect us from evil people and also from the forbidden woman, the adulteress. This temptation is a massive issue in our culture today. Several times in the book of Proverbs, we're warned of the subtle and destructive temptation of the adulteress, one who does not value the marriage covenant and willfully lives outside of it, seeking to lure people into sex outside the design of God. We're going to discuss that more in a few weeks in Proverbs chapter 7. So we have here two examples how wisdom can protect us from evil people and from sexual sin. And in contrast to these two evil paths, we want to be like verse 20. So, you will walk in the way of good, okay, not evil. And you will keep to the paths of the righteous, not the unrighteous. Do you see? And it ends with kind of a final motivation to pursue wisdom. Verse 21 to 22. He's basically saying it's life or death. One leads to heaven, the path of life, joy, peace, all the benefits we see in God's word to His people. The other path, hell, misery, death, being cut off from the land. And you know, this reminded me of our lesson Monday from Holiday Club this past week, the wide and the narrow path. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 7, enter by the narrow gate, right? For the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. And those who enter are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life. Those that find it are few. Pursuing wisdom could be considered an element of that path through the narrow gate because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. I get it. It takes time and energy, as we've seen. But, church, it leads to life. Amen? It leads to life and protection. Let me say something very important as we wrap up. You cannot know true wisdom if you don't know God. Only through a relationship with Christ can you obtain this divine wisdom. Because you see, while wisdom is available to anyone and everyone, it's without power and without meaning outside of Jesus. Because even if we try to pursue wisdom, We're always going to fail, aren't we? Failure. Because we're sinners. Which means we can never do enough to be right with a holy God. Never. It'd be really tempting to read the book of Proverbs and think, I can pursue all this and it'll lead to salvation. I'll be right with God. It won't. Let me be clear, it will not. But that's where the grace of the gospel enters. That Jesus lived that life perfectly. He is wisdom perfected. He did what you and I cannot do. But then, even though he's perfect, he was hung on a Roman cross to pay for all of our sin and all of our failure to walk the right path. He shed his blood for us. But he didn't stay dead, did he, church? He rose from the grave, conquering sin and death, and inviting us simply to repent and believe on him for salvation and eternal life. That's all he asks, repentance and faith. He doesn't say try harder or follow these rules. He says believe in me who lived it perfectly for you. But the result, listen, so important, but the result of our faith is the Spirit of God and a desire to follow him, to pursue wisdom. Why? Because of Jesus, right? My motivation to pursue wisdom is not about living a good life. My motivation to pursue wisdom is about living for Jesus in thankfulness for what he did for me. To the one who lived, died, and rose for me, it's about praise. It's about praise. To praise Jesus for his salvation and his grace, to praise him for life, to praise him for the wisdom he provides in his word, praise him for the protection he gives me. We could sum up Proverbs 2, pursue, protect, praise. Pursue wisdom. Protection will be granted. Praise will overflow. Why? Because we have Jesus. So church, as we move into a time of communion, as we gather around the table this morning, first and foremost, remember Jesus. Without him, you do not know God. You do not know wisdom. Remember Christ. Pray for the strength to go after wisdom like treasure. Allow his word to light your path and to protect you from evil, all to the praise of his glorious grace. Amen.